This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC. D-Lo, we your number one spy.
It's the only Young Zell song we get today. We welcome you in here to the Tuesday, December 17th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
Man out there lying. He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
The absolute worst. We are so happy that you are here with us. Though many more of you would be if DeMar DeRozan catches that pass cleanly and finishes that shot at the basket and the Kings win 131-130. Instead, Kings fans are pissed off. They don't want to listen to their team being bad. Walking away cranky. Went to bed mad. I understand. There's a lot to talk about.
Really did go to bed mad last night.
Yeah,
I was pretty pissed all night.
I understand.
And it wasn't at somebody specifically or anything else like that. It was the situation, right?
No.
You know what I'm saying? And then I was mad that I was so mad. Right, I'm like, why am I mad? I didn't play. I'm not. Why I'm upset? Mm-hmm. This pisses me off that I'm upset.
Yeah,
like that was frustrating. That was frustrating last night, and it's to the point now where this team is routinely becoming frustrating.
Yeah,
and I said it last week. Something's got to give. Like, we can't have expectations and like be afraid of, you know, the red button or mm-hmm. the owner being mad or something like that. Like, if you got expectations and you're not meeting those expectations, the time is now. Mm-hmm. Everybody's not like at the beginning of this whole voyage, right? You know, whether it's some players, whether front office, whether it's coach, like, we're in the middle of it, where if things don't happen this season, things are going to be different. And the fact that the temperature is starting to rise, I understand. I absolutely understand.
Yeah, it's, you know, we were in the group thread yesterday, and I said to the fellas, like, yo, imagine being excited to go to tonight's team, won three straight. You got the Denver Nuggets coming to town, and you're down 16 before you even get your goddamn popcorn.
Goodness.
And it's like, what was it, 22-6, 23-6, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, God damn, man, seriously? This is how the game starts. And you saw signs like, okay, they're fighting. They're gonna get their way back into this. How much? I'm not really sure. You know, they get to within, all right, they get to 10, they get to 9, they get to 7. Oh, and then that big push comes, and then all of a sudden they take the lead. It was a 33-point swing in this game. Mm. 33 points. They went down 23, up 10. And then Denver goes on a run at the end of the game. And then what has to be one of the most exciting 2 minutes. I got some notes from Deuce in here somewhere. I think he said there were seven lead changes. Mm. Seven lead changes in the final 75 seconds. Mm. Shot for shot for shot. And then there gets to a point. My tone doesn't change. I said, you get back to three, you get back to 500, things reset here with this Denver game. You win, you lose, like, it's different. It's Denver. You if you lose Denver, you're going to have to get these Laker games, but, like, it's not the end of the world. Until you're in it. It's just like the Memphis game. Hey, losing to Memphis isn't that big of a deal until you've got the lead in the final few minutes on the road, and you're like, you've got to win this game. This is the case here at home. You've clawed your way back into this. You fought your way back into this. You took the lead. You took their punch. You've got an opportunity to win this game. And then you know this game is going to be all over social media because it's Jokic and because you do have a shot-for-shot final 75 seconds. Hmm. And then you see that play develop, and everyone saw it as it was happening. That ball gets to DeMar, and you're like, he's going to... We're taking this game home. And he just somehow mishandles it. And you're left with lost. We lost that game. And then it resonates more like we lost at home again. Mm. We keep losing. That the crowd was with us. And we keep losing these home games. And I'll tell you, the moment wasn't even the game. I watched those guys leave the floor. I was like, all right, it's all right. You know, they mean good spirits, if you will. It's all right. Mm-hmm. And then I saw Malik at the podium. That bothered me. Malik's always the one who's like, it's good. Malik just sat there. Mm-hmm. He answered one question. I don't remember who it came from. It's like the second question. He was asked about Mike talking about that attention to detail and having that out the gate. And he just went silent. He was like, it's a good question. I don't know how to answer it. Hmm. And his tone is low. And then he almost like snaps out of it. So you just got to lock in. You know, he does the Malik thing. You just got to lock in. Hmm. I walked away from that like, God damn, I think there's something wrong.
Hmm. Sure, there is something wrong. I mean, it should hurt. It should leave them speechless. Everything's not all right. Everything, you know, we'll figure it out, you know, and it's early, they got time. Like, nah, the time was last week to start turning this around. And they started that process. And much like you, I'll keep the same energy. I didn't ask for them to win against Denver and everything would be okay. I said, you got 5 games. I need 4-1. Still attainable. You got to win the next 4 straight, mm-hmm. but still attainable. The goal that I had for them is still there. But like you said, in the middle of that game, you did all that work to come back from the deficit that you're at. I didn't think you'd be able to get over the hump and take the lead, and you did. And not only did you get over the hump and take the lead, you were in control of that game with about 4 minutes to go. Up 10, I think, with 4 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. And you let it go.
Quick 7-0 run. Like quick, like lightning quick.
You let it go. And yeah. And it's little stuff. Like the thing that I keep talking about, and you know it's serious because Ben is in here early, although Ben could be responding to the insiders. I'm not sure.
Well, it could be yesterday's show.
You know it's serious business, and my boy Ben is in here on time. But the thing that I'm trying to figure out, you know, what happened last night, what the issue is, and, you know, people want to talk about whose issue and coaching and all this other stuff. And a lot of that run and that final play mm-hmm. was a microcosm of what the problem is with this team. They don't execute. They don't execute consistently. They played, that's the other thing about this game that was so frustrating. They played their asses off to get back into the game, to take their lead. They played damn good last night. You know, I wouldn't even say in the middle of the game, because they played good in the fourth quarter as well. But for about three quarters, you know, when the going got tough, man, they played so well. But their attention to detail, their focus isn't always there. The last play sums it up. A lot of people have, you know, a bunch of reasons. What should have happened? Fox should have took it. Tabonis should have took it. No, the play was perfect. The play was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
It was perfect. Yeah. And this is where I have a hard time always looking at coaches the way people do. Mike Brown, all this other stuff. You can't draw up a better play.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't execute it. They didn't execute. You talk about Mike Brown after the game, talking about offensive rebounds, talking about, I don't know if it's still an issue, but the opening play of the game, that's an issue. This team consistently, and we can point the finger at one person, or it could be a collective.
Yeah.
They don't execute consistently, and they'll never be as good as we hope they could be, as we thought maybe they could be, until that changes. And to be honest with you, it might not ever change with this group.
We are we're gonna need to run that entire sound for Mike Brown,
the post game joint.
Yeah, I think everybody needs to hear that. For those that haven't, I pulled it up on Twitter real quick and saw that Matt George had.
I loved hearing what Mike Brown had to say last night. I loved it, and yeah. usually like, I'm not really into sound bites and all this other stuff, but it was real. He talked about, you know, time off and all this. Like, man, nobody, Mike Brown, you'll hear it. Man, we ain't worried about time off. We got to execute. Like, there's things we got to do that we just don't do consistently.
I feel like Mike has been pretty consistent in his criticisms of his team. That's concerning to me. If I got to tell you, it's December. If I got to tell you in March, KC, I need you to pick up your energy. If I got to tell you in April, KC, you got to pick up your energy, dog. If I tell you in May, June, July, August, if I'm saying the same thing, maybe you can't pick up your energy. That's what we're still talking about attention to detail 27 games into the season?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a Mike Brown problem anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This clearly was never a Mike Brown problem. This is a personnel issue. We'll come back. Go ahead.
No, just real quick, to piggyback off that point, it's not a Mike Brown issue. And then you also have to look at what Mike Brown is saying, right? Because people are like, well, they're clearly not responding to him. Like, Mike Brown lost the locker room. He needs to go. Listen to what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Is he saying anything wrong?
Mm-hmm.
If the answer is no, then we're leaving Mike Brown out of this.
Yeah.
Because if he's saying the right thing, which I think he is, talking about energy, attention to detail, he ain't the problem.
Yeah.
And the fact, if somebody's not listening to him, that's not Mike Brown's fault. That's a personnel problem.
Wizzo Mac asked, did Keegs get hurt, injured in practice? Yeah, Wizzo Mac, no one has any freaking clue where Keegan Murray got hurt.
Mm.
Keegan Murray pops up on the injury report absolutely out of nowhere and winds up missing last night's game. We have no clue. We'll come back. There's obviously a lot to discuss. The phone lines are open for you. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. We're just getting started. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right, let's hit the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line as we get going here. 916-909-1320. Our man TC leading us off. TC, what's happening, baby?
Man, what's up with my two brothers?
What's up, TC?
Man, you know, mad about last night, but, you know, I like the fight, though, you know, because we was down, we went down, and just to see that fight to come back, it'll show you, like, what the team is made of, even though we lost, right? And I'm at a point now, I'm with you, Kenny, and be like, this is on the players, bro. The players got to get it together, but it's also on the front. I'm with you, Dilo. It's also the front office. Like, Monty Mike, this ain't got nothing to do with Mike. So I'm talking to everybody. Like, everybody is entitled to their own feelings, right? But this ain't got nothing to me. It ain't got nothing to do with Mike. Mike is saying and doing all the right things. The players have to do it. This is on Monty. Monty, you have to stop with the pump faking, bro. If we finna make a move, bro, we have to make a move, period. We can't keep doing the pump faking. If you're going to call Danny Ainge, I heard James Hamm earlier. I guess we don't have second-round picks. But I was ready to call Danny and say, Danny, take five for John Collins. I don't care, bro. It's not about the picks. It's about getting a player in your organization to help your team move and get where y'all want to get. It's not about these picks, bro. So, Monty, the pump faking has to stop, bro. If you're going to keep doing that, bro, then you got to get out of here, bro. We can't keep dealing with this pump faking on me. That's all I got.
Okay.
I feel you on that one. I'll say this about that. Go ahead.
No. I don't think he's pump faking. I don't think Monty's like, hey, Pascal, just kidding. Y'all, I got you off your feet, huh? He's not doing that. Like, I think there are deals out there that Monty has attempted to execute. Now, he's failed. He's failed to the frustration of Kings fans and most notably a two-time All-Pro NBA player. But, like, I don't think Monty's not trying. Maybe he's not doing enough to get over the hump. Maybe he's fallen short in some of his negotiation. I don't really know. But I don't think he's not trying to improve this basketball team.
I mean, I agree with you on that. And it's a little twofold because, you know, do I want him to do a better job of evaluating and going to get out? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But look, these guys here in Sacramento, you know, we watch a lot of the NBA, so we're not completely unfamiliar to some of these guys. But, I mean, look at the Nuggets bench last night. Hunter Tyson, Peyton Watson, Julian Strawster. I mean,
you're making names.
You know what I mean? Like, these guys are, it's not Cam Johnson, right? But they're able to find guys, not only find guys, but those guys are actually able to come in and produce to a certain level that can at least keep Denver in the game.
29-14.
Yeah. We're all, and this was kind of like my thought a couple days ago. Like, yo, you have to go get Cam Johnson. Like, I understand that. I want Cam Johnson. I want Finney Smith too. But how about the guys that have the opportunity actually execute the opportunity?
Because they're not good enough.
How are these? Who's Hunter Tyson?
He's 7 points off the bench. That's better than whoever else is on the Kings right now. That's 29 points from the Nuggets off the bench. Don't matter their names. That's more than what you're getting from whoever's got a name on the Kings.
The point is, we shouldn't have to go give up first rounds and second rounds for Cam Johnson when Denver can find a Hunter Tyson off the street. Number one, he's executing. Number two, Monty, go do something. Other than just look, oh man, got to go get Cam Johnson.
I don't disagree, but he's got to find the guys. And he hasn't been able to do that.
People are finding these guys all over the NBA. Now, if somebody like B-Lo and JC in Denver, what was the game where
they're
he was
all
really
B-Lo
good?
And JC's outside of Sacramento, just to be clear?
Yeah, it's a chain.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It's
okay.
Like ESPN Radio. It's a brand.
I got you.
It's a brand.
I got you.
I forgot the game that he played, but whoever, Utah, they probably be like, why can't we find an Isaac Jones? He had 18 against us. Like, they may be having the same type of conversation. But one of the things is I'm kind of tired of, like, the people that Monty drafts to a certain degree. It's been a type. People get mad at me, and I know last night they gave up 130 points, so defense is going to be the topic of conversation. I get that. But – like, why do they have nobody that can score out of their youngins? Nobody that can create. Strawther, he can shoot. He can shoot. He can score. They found him. They drafted him because they got a score. Like, Kobe Jones, who actually, I wasn't mad at Kobe Jones' minutes last night. He wasn't invisible. So I'm getting after a little bit, showing some hustle, some effort, all this other stuff. Like, I'm not here to even slander his play last night, because did he play great? No. But was he invisible? Did he contribute? Yeah, I think he did. But, like, why can't we find a Julian Strawther? Mm-hmm. Like, why, like, that's not a first round. That's not a lottery. That's not a – this is a guy that you targeted, found, and developed that can help you on both sides of the basketball. And this is something that I really, like, maybe it means nothing. But in a situation where you're down Keegan Murray and you're down Kevin Huerter, maybe James or somebody can explain this to me. Why is Isaiah Crawford and Mason Jones on these two-way contracts? Mason Jones specifically, you can't even bring him up in time of need. Mm. And I'm not saying this guy would be any like great, but why is he up there instead of Boogie Ellis? Look, Boogie Ellis can shoot. You need shooting. You got a guy down. Hey, Boogie, come up from Stockton and play. You can't even bring Mason Jones up. Why is he occupying a two-way contract in times of need? Little stuff like that. Little stuff like that that I'm just not understanding right now.
I don't have an answer, man. I wish I did. It is funny, but not like haha. More like, what the F? When you name names like Hunter Tyson or Peyton Watson, and you're trying to figure out, wait a minute, Kobe Jones has been in the league a couple years. Kobe can't get you a basket. And to be clear, like, I don't begrudge Mike for playing Kobe Jones last night. He had to. Mm-hmm. I'm not even that mad at the way Kobe Jones played. It just is what it is, man. And that's the lamest line in all of life. But that's what he's capable of. Mm-hmm. He did some things on the defensive end, did a couple of hustle plays, did a couple of things where you notice him. Like, all right, Kobe, that's some nice work there. He's not going to get you 10. He's not going to... Hell, what Hunter had? He can't get you 7. And it falls into this. It falls into this thing where, and I think you just talked about this. You did just talk about this a second ago. Monty McNair has a type. He needs to fall in love with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's cool. Your whole life you've been dating older women, and them older women have been breaking your heart. Well, buddy, go try a young one. And that was a very purposeful analogy for Monty McNair. He loves the 24-year-old. Man, if you want a project, go get an 18-year-old. Because you treat some of these dudes as if they're projects. Now look, you didn't miss on Tyrese. You hit on that pick. Mm-hmm. It turned. Look, Tyrese is a great ball player. It turned into Domantas Sabonis. Everybody's happy. You hit. Keegan Murray? Well, I didn't think I'd say this when the season started, but maybe the jury's out. But Keegan Murray, if nothing else, is a really solid ball player. How good he is, maybe up for a bit of discussion, but Keegan Murray, really good ball player. You wanted an older guy in Davion Mitchell. All right. I don't know how old Devin Carter is. I have no idea. He dresses like a 17-year-old, but I'm pretty sure he's 20-something.
He's a senior.
Or like
a super junior.
So that was 21?
23.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
He's 22.
All right. You're insistent on drafting guys who can drink. All right. But you want them all to be these projects that you got to run down to Stockton. We're far enough into the Monty McNair era to go, bro, I don't think this is working.
Agreed.
Your style of drafting is not working. Now, let's keep that same energy. Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox, because I don't know who the hell makes the decision for this organization. But we're insistent on making them a pair, so I'm not going to criticize Monty McNair. As a matter of fact, every time Jesse calls for Monty McNair's job, you need to call for Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox's job. Because these two seem to be linked. These two are mentioned. Mike Brown did it. Well, you got to talk to Monty and Wes about that. No, who the hell's the general manager? Monty or Wes? All right, if we're linking them together, they both go. If we're linking them together, they both need to change their draft strategy. If we're linking them together, they both have failed at getting better players into the Sacramento organization. It's one or the other. It's either Monty or it's Monty and Wes. We need to make up our mind on which one it is.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Right now, everybody failing.
I'm looking at some of these guys, and I'm bringing this up because once again, it's like, why didn't you go get Dennis Schroeder? Why did, like, you don't need this, which was like my point. Like, this team shouldn't need like some super trade to improve on the bench. When they lost to Portland the other night, Orlando Banton is averaging 10 points a game. Second round pick, number 46 for Portland. He's playing. Remember when Jalen Wilson came in here and lit him up for Brooklyn? Jalen Wilson, second round pick. The other cat from Portland, Kamara, second round pick. Like, people are finding these guys all over the league. And we've got Kobe Jones, Isaiah Crawford, Jones, both Jones, Mason Jones and Isaac Jones. That Isaac Jones is scrapped and done some things. But we have nobody that can come up and hit a jump shot.
Well, it's all mix and match every game, too. It's like, hey, Keon Ellis might get 15, 20, whatever. Isaac Jones might get 15 a day or might get 5 the next. It's just, there's no, it's whoever decides to play well that night, you're going to get the minutes. You don't have like a set, like Denver has Payton Watson to go to and Stroud and those guys. Like, you don't have set guys you go to off this bench. It's, hey, who's playing well tonight? All right, we're sticking with you then.
And even then, like, because there's a lot of frustration and blame to go around. But at the end of the day, we talked about, like, these guys yesterday. We talked about Kobe Jones taking advantage of an opportunity. None of these guys have seized the opportunity. Maybe Isaac Jones, right? Like, he came in, had a little buzz and all this other stuff. But none of these guys have taken advantage of the opportunity. Keon did last year. And they still don't even really want to give him. Yeah, they don't want to give him the opportunity again. But, like, I'm sick of seeing, like, people talk about, like, all you care about is offense, all this other stuff. Not necessarily, but can I get one guy that was a certified bucket getter in college and bring him in instead of these guys who, I can't really shoot, but, you know, he's long and rangy and he works hard. And all, like, stop. We talking about asking for somebody to give us 7 off the bench. Ty Washington can give you 7 or 8 off the bench. That's what we're looking for.
Rookie Ty Washington.
First ever NBA game 3 years into his career. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what you guys are looking for, like, there are people out there and he just don't get them. Just doesn't get them. Like I said, Boogie Ellis in a pinch. I'm not saying be up here all the time, but in a pinch, when, oh man, Herter's out, looks like Keaton's gonna be out. Why isn't he on the two-way? Where he can just come up, play 6-7 minutes a half, get some wide open looks, see if he can knock him down.
Yeah.
But last night, scoring wasn't even the issue. I mean, I know the bench discrepancy is what it is, but you score 129 points, you should win. You should win. They didn't execute on both sides of the floor at the end of the game. Last night, they fell asleep at the wheel when they were up 10. They fell asleep. They were, we got up 10 4 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook could walk into the lane. They absolutely asleep for 4 minutes. For about 2 minutes, I would say.
What was his number? 16 points?
18, 10, and 9, I think.
No, yeah. He had 18 points yesterday?
Yeah.
16 of those points were in the paint. He was 8 of 10 in the paint yesterday, thanks to Deuce Mason for that.
They fell asleep. Like I said, I don't even want to say for the whole 4 minutes, because I thought, even though they were 7 for 7, Denver was in the final 4 minutes, you know, towards the end, things got contested. Like, they were competing on the defensive end. But there was a moment from, like, the 4-minute mark to the 2:30 mark where they just fell asleep. They thought, we got this in hand. Job's done. We came back from down 20-something. We're up 10. Job's done. They fell asleep, and just like that, Denver got it to 1. And at that point, you're in a game. And that's the attention to detail that Mike Brown is talking about on a consistent basis. That is execution that Mike Brown is talking about on a consistent basis. You have to stay locked in the entire time, whether that 2-minute span is at the beginning of the game when you're letting offensive rebounds happen all the time, or when you're up 10 and you're letting these guys come back the way you do. You have to stay committed and locked into what you're doing. And one of the more frustrating plays of that game last night was De'Aaron Fox hits the three to go up one.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember how much time left. It was under a minute, I believe. Hits the three, excuse me, to go up two.
Mm.
And I live by this rule. Maybe not everybody does. Maybe coaches, all coaches don't or whatever. But in that situation, you cannot give up a three.
Mm-hmm.
I will let you walk in for a layup. I will concede that if need be. We're going to try and stay in front of you or whatever, but you can't get an and one, and you cannot get a three in that situation. And they had this pick and roll where Domas and Fox, the communication or whatever wasn't there, and they give up a wide open three to Jokic to put Denver up one again. You cannot give up a three in that situation. Like I said, I will stand on the three-point line, and worst-case scenario, you just go get a layup, and we're tied, and we'll work it out that way. You can't get beat on a two. You can get beat on that three. And the lack of awareness, the lack of focus in that moment is frustrating, to say the least.
Do you think that the lack of depth, because now we're seeing these guys sometimes play 40 minutes a game or whatever, do you think the lack of depth has any effect on maybe they kind of gassed out at the end? Because Denver went 7-7 the last 4 minutes, couldn't get a stop to save your life at that point. Like, do you think maybe if you're playing normal minutes where you got guys off the bench and like there's a flow and all that, that maybe that run doesn't happen?
Maybe.
Could be not, but I'm just asking.
Maybe, but they were able to score.
Yeah.
Do you have the focus and everything to get buckets? I need you to have that same focus to get a stop. So maybe. Maybe they were gas. What did Domas play 42 minutes last night? That's a lot. You know, that's a lot. But, hey, man, it's winning time. It's winning time. Easy for me to say watching on TV, but, man, find a way to win. Denver did.
Yeah, that's another – man, you said something – a second ago that I'm just absolutely hung up on right now. I'm gonna count this real quick. 3, 4. Hang on, this will be quick. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So I'm not gonna count the wins because it'd be far too much. But keep in mind these numbers are over an 82 game season.
Mm.
Remember the 115 plus point thing?
Mm-hmm.
They lost 12 games in which they scored 115 plus. Just I'm eyeballing this. They won probably 40 or something.
This was Beam Team 1.
This was Beam Team 1.
Mm-hmm.
Beam Team 2, the number was 8. 150, that's how many games they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the win number is like 30 something.
Right.
115 plus. 8 losses. How many games into the season are we?
27?
6 losses when they've scored 115 plus.
Mm.
6 losses this season. At that number. That was the number.
Mm-hmm.
You famously told 95-7 it was 150. It was actually 115.
Dot, dot, dot.
6 losses. That magic number ain't a thing no more. That's brutal.
Yeah,
that is just brutal.
The one of the, and maybe it's right there in front of you or not, but how many times have they gotten to that number this year? So they got 6 losses.
They're 9-6.
9-6.
Sorry, yeah. That's the only one I counted because they're 9-6.
Mm.
And 1, 2, 3. There's 3 overtime games in there. Yeah, it's they've gotten to that number more times than they haven't. Obviously, with the 9-6 record, that's a little over half, about half, a little over. But there is no magic number. Like they lost last night with 129. They've lost at 128. They've lost at 127. They've lost at 126. They've lost at 125. This wasn't a thing that used to happen. And then there's the. Then there's the 3-9 in games decided by 5 points or less.
Mm. I thought about that last night, too.
Well, yeah. How can you not when they're putting the clutch points on the screen and you see De'Aaron Fox is doing what he's doing again?
One, and it's not registering in the moment, but it sure as hell registered after the buzzer went off. The reason De'Aaron has so many of those clutch points is because this team is in so many close games. Mm-hmm. But this was a team that was legitimately built to win close games. Mm. If it's De'Aaron, the number two is DeMar. Mm-hmm. If it's DeMar, the number two is De'Aaron. These are the two most clutch players in the league, at least in how this stat is measured. And they can't win in clutch moments right now. The team, not speaking on those individuals, the team cannot win close games right now. 3-9?
I mean, and the reason why it came to mind last night is, like I said, on this show, I've said it a number of different times, we will have a good time, and we will bury Horwitz the hell out of our back shoulder when we get it right, and we can do that because when we're wrong on something, we'll stand up to it. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I'll put myself in it for sure. I think it was Anthony Slater. Had his little write-up on the Kings in August.
Yep.
It was like, this is going to come down to close games.
Yep.
And we said, yeah, all right, Anthony. No S.
Yeah.
Good job.
Way to go out on a limb there, Slater.
Well, and he's spot on right now.
Man.
Because that is the difference in this season. And the fact that the Kings haven't been able to execute in those moments has left him on the brink of this season being torpedoed.
Well, part of the reason it felt so ridiculous was, bro, they've been great in the clutch.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this in question now? Well, I guess the almighty Slater knows.
Almighty Slater.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That was the dumbest thing I ever read at the moment.
Yeah.
And I hate Anthony Slater for being right. I need to get Ant-Man on the show.
He was spot on, man. He was spot on. And they just haven't been able to execute consistently and when you need it. They just haven't. They fumbled the ball too many times. Think back to Memphis. Just fumbled the ball. Didn't get an offensive rebound. It's the little things. And it's the little things consistently that they're not doing. And that's something that you hope can be fixed because it's not a talent thing. But at some point, you just got to look at it and said, that's the identity of this team. They don't execute consistently and when you need them to most. I hope that's not the case. I'm not there yet. I'm not saying that about them yet. But they're trending in that direction where this group just doesn't pay attention to the little things that good teams do pay attention to.
There's a lot more to discuss with this game. We got to give credit to Doug McDermott too. He was put into the starting lineup because of the mysterious ankle sprain or ankle injury or whatever the hell was going on with Keegan Murray that no one will tell us about. And then I noticed something about Nikola Jokic last night.
Mm. I'm probably late, but man, it felt Luka levels last night.
Oh.
We'll talk about it. We're happy you're here with us. Phone lines are open for you. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line 916-909-1320. Celo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, we're back here. Phone lines stay open for you. 916-909-1320. Get in if you'd like to. There's a lot to talk about with last night's game. Obviously, a lot of it is bad. Let's talk about this part. You said you wanted to see 4-1 on this 5-game homestand.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I thought that was crazy. I don't think that that's this basketball team. It's still attainable.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people had 4-1 as the marker for this. It's tough when you lose the first one.
Right.
You means you got to beat the Lakers twice. You got to beat a Pacers team that's probably as desperate as you are to kind of find their footing here. But it's not impossible. Like you could win the next four, and you've gone 4-1 on this trip or on this homestand.
Done winning 4 in a row, or was it 3 in a row?
3 in a row. Last night was hopefully the fourth. You had won 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So the fan situated goals, they're still right there.
Mm-hmm.
the tough part is why would you think that the Kings could beat the Lakers twice? Right? Why would you think that the Kings can beat the Lakers twice and then go on to beat the Pacers? And perhaps most scarring for Sacramento Kings fans is why would you think they could beat the Detroit Pistons? Who, by the way, is a very good basketball team. It's not resulting in wins. But Cade Cunningham, I asked questions about Cade before the season started. You assured me he's fine. He's the one. Yes, he is. I don't know why Jaden Ivey didn't play last night. Maybe he had a mysterious Keegan Murray ankle injury too, but he's had a really good season. Overall, that's a decent group. They're gonna play. They're gonna work hard.
Bickerstaff doing a good job too.
He is. That's normally what he does for the first year. It's really unfortunate what happens after that. But the first year, my man JB is locked in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, coming up with reasons why this team can win, that's a little bit more difficult. But if you wanted this team to go 4-1 at home, they still have the opportunity to go 4-1 at home. I thought 3-2 was much more likely. It puts them a game above 500 at the end of this road trip. And as frustrating as last night's game was, because, again, you can look at like the totality and try to form your feelings about this. Before that game was played, I told you, like, you've kind of reset yourself. You don't have to go out there and beat Denver. It'd be great if you did. You don't have to. Until you're in the game and you see how the game's going, and then it's like, hey, you've got to win this. Mm-hmm. You're at home. You've got to win this game. And so, you know, it becomes a little more frustrating after it's happened than before it was played. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I understand no one wants to hear this. They're a game under 500. They have far from fallen apart here. This Lakers team isn't particularly good. They're going to have a difficult matchup with Anthony Davis, who they always play well against. I mean, if the marquee matchup was Domas versus Jokic last night, Domas was incredible. He was absolutely incredible. The marquee matchup on Thursday, it's going to be Domas versus Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Domas he does not struggle against Anthony Davis. That doesn't mean the Kings are going to win. Mm-hmm. That just means, yo, you've got a good look here. It sucks. It's not the end of the world. It's frustrating in the totality of the season, but it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world. 3-2 also isn't the end of the world or a bad thing. The problem that I have with that is if you go 3-2 over these five games, you basically did nothing for 2 weeks. You came into it at 500, and 2 weeks later, you're one game over 500. Yeah. And the season, you keep doing that over the course of which they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the season's going
to get. You are what your record says you are.
It's going to get to the end real quick.
Yeah.
And you're going to be looking at it like we're two games over 500 with a month left into the season. Like, and this was an opportunity to take care of. Like you said, they still can attain that 4-1 that I asked for. They still can attain the 3-2 that we talked about as well. But it's, you just look at this team and they lack the little things that need to be done on a consistent basis to make you think they could do this.
Do they have an identity yet, or a way of, like, Kings basketball? Like, can we count on them to maybe go 4-1 or 3-2 even, whatever? Like, we don't even know what to count on game in and game out.
Right now, their identity is they're a 500 basketball team. That's what they are. They are the epitome of an average basketball team. They could be exciting. They can score points in bunches. And just like LeBron's famous 81-0 run that he had, they can give up points in bunches.
So I look at the Pistons game at the end of this whole stretch or whatever. Like, the Kings are, on paper, the better team, better record. But I don't look at it as where the Kings got that one. Like,
yeah, yeah, absolutely.
See it there's going no the other way.
There's no game in the league like that for the Sacramento Kings.
Mm-mm. Nah, like, if you told me right now the Kings are going to beat the Lakers twice and the Pacers on the second night of a back-to-back, I'd tell you that's awesome. Detroit's beating them. And I would have no problem saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Price Picks doesn't let you pick games.
Yeah,
I've been down this road too many times. Pistons. That's the way it would be. By the way, shout out to those who went with the Demon last night on De'Aaron Fox.
Ooh.
29 and a half. was the number, for those that recall yesterday's show. 29.5 was the number.
Mine got eliminated because Christian Brown was injured. He was late scratch. Mm. So they just refunded me my money back.
Oh, how nice.
That's what happens with that. Shout out Prize Picks. It's also Pixmas.
So
they're giving you up to 1,000 times your money in certain situations. They also have a Nikola Jokic free play, 0.5 points that you could pick for the Christmas Day game. So go sign up right now for Prize Picks if you haven't.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, put that promo code KIFM in there and get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. Must be present in certain states. Prize Picks, run your game.
Head over to prizepicks.com for more details.
I do an NBA Cup championship game lineup today.
So has Jokic always been a whiny bitch, or is that just new?
I think he's always been that way.
That was bad last night. Like, that was Luka level bad. Mm. Like, every play he was turning to the official with his hands up in the air. Domas getting his ribs kicked in. I still don't know what happened to Domas when he got up on the chair. I don't know what the hell happened
right
there. Yeah,
I just heard about that.
They kept saying it's his elbow, it's his elbow. It's not his goddamn elbow. He's clutching his ribs. Mm. Like, I don't know if the wind got knocked out of him. I don't know what happened. Oh, he's stretching his back. I don't think that's what happened, guys. But go ahead, keep saying it. Like, I'm still unclear as to what happened. But he seemed to be in a ton of discomfort. Mm-hmm. Jokic, every play, hands up in the air, looking at the official, doing all of the Luka demonstrative stuff, probably without the foul language. But he was like, I'm looking at him. Well, maybe he was.
Because wasn't it 2 weeks ago when Luka, people went crazy when Fred VanVleet did it. Remember what Luka did to that referee a couple weeks ago? No technical nothing.
Oh, yeah, no.
No nothing. No. Just that play on.
No. He's hit Draymond Green levels of restraint from the officials. But, yeah, I swear, man, I just kept looking at, like, he's really doing this every play. Every single play he's acting like this.
Yeah, he, in, you know,
picked a hell of a time to hit his first three of the game, though.
Jeez, you can't leave him open. You can't leave any
man open. Was 1 of 6. He could have been 1 of 100. Mm-hmm. He hit the only one that mattered.
Can't leave him open at any time. Leave anybody open in that situation. That shot has to be a two point shot.
Brutal.
The crazy thing also about this game is, and you can tell me, both of you guys can tell me how you feel about this one, if you can separate the outcome from some of the things that happened, is as bad as they were in that first quarter, I do salute them for turning that game around. That was some of the best Kings basketball I've seen from them this season, you know, from mid-second quarter to 4 minutes to go in the fourth, you know, and even in that 4 minutes, man, it was really a 2 minutes, man, where they fell asleep at the wheel. At the end of the game, they were running all the plays. They were hitting the shots. De'Aaron Fox had hit the three at the 5 points there, and DeRozan with the dunk. You know, there was back and forth. What'd you say, 7 lead changes in 2 minutes?
Yes, 7 lead changes in the final 75 seconds.
They did some really good things throughout that game, but nobody's going to remember it or even care, because at the end of the day, it's wins and losses. But I didn't think they were coming back, and if they came back, I thought they were going to never take the lead, let alone go up like 10. Once they got it to like 7 at the half, I was like, oh, okay, cool. They may get it to 2, and then Denver will pull away again, and we'll be like, well, oh, man, they worked so hard to get back into the game that they ran out of gas and couldn't get over the hump. No, they got over the hump. They just couldn't finish it off.
I thought the effort was great and all that, like coming back. I thought they had the game, honestly. Like, I think they were up double digits in the fourth quarter or whatever, and I thought they were going to be able to close it out, and the last 4 minutes happens, and they blow it, of course, or whatever. But
double digits late.
Yeah, I thought it was encouraging, but ultimately, like, I'm watching, it's like, this isn't going to be sustainable, though.
The thing is, don't put yourself in a 23-point deficit.
That's crazy.
23 points at home?
It came out so flat, too, where it was just, you figured they were going to lose 540
like,
that
what
night
are we
something.
Doing?
I was out at the mall last night because the kids and my mom, they were taking Christmas pictures. And I was like, oh, man, I'm not going to get home in time for the start of the game. So I pulled up, you know, the game on my phone. It was like 7:23, right? It was early. And I pull up the game, and I see 24-6. Mm-hmm. I said, this is embarrassing. This is this is uncalled for, and it's embarrassing. And to your point, D'Lo, why are we even there? Like, why does that happen? Why are we there? 18-4, 24-6, whatever. Like, what are we doing? That was so ridiculous. And it really happens far too often. Maybe not that drastic, but the Kings are always down.
Yeah,
they're
facts.
Always down.
Facts.
That's always right. Down, man.
Yep.
And always, to be honest with you, probably always down double digits.
Well, that was the joke, wasn't it? They're going to be down 13 at some point.
Yeah.
How do you fix that? Because that's not a bench problem. That's a team-wide thing. Like, that's your starters. As much credit as I've given them this season, like, that's everyone.
That's your players.